So I spoke. He took the cup and drank it off, and mightily pleased he was with the taste of the sweet liquor, and thus he asked me for it yet again. "Give me some more, kind sir, and straightway tell your name, that I may give a stranger's gift with which you shall be pleased. Ah, yes, the Cyclops' fruitful fields bear wine in their heavy clusters, for rain from Zeus makes the grape grow. But this is a bit of ambrosia and nectar." So he spoke, and I again offered the sparkling wine. 3 times I brought and gave. 3 times he drank it in his folly. Then, as the wine began to dull the Cyclops' senses, in winning words I said to him, "Cyclops, you ask my noble name, and I will tell it. But do you give the stranger's gift just as you promised? My name is No Man. No Man I am called, by mother, father, and by all my comrades." So I spoke, and from a ruthless heart he straightway answered, "No man I eat up last, after his comrades, all the rest first, and that shall be the stranger's gift for you." He spoke, and sinking back fell flat, and there he lay, lolling his thick neck over, till sleep that conquers all took hold upon him. Out of his throat poured wine and scraps of human flesh. Heavy with wine, he spewed it forth. And now it was, I drove the stake under a heap of ashes to bring it to a heat, and with my words emboldened all my men that none might flinch through fear. Then when the olive stake, green though it was ready to take fire, and through was all aglow, I snatched it from the fire, while my men stood around, and heaven inspired us with great courage. Seizing the olive stake, sharp at the tip, they plunged it in his eye, and I, perched up above, whirled it around, as when a man bores ship beams with a drill, and those below keep it in motion with a strap held by the ends, and steadily it runs. Even so we seized the fire-pointed stake and whirled it in his eye. Blood bubbled round the heated thing. The vapor singed off all the lids around the eye, and even the brows as the ball burned and its roots crackled in the flame. As when a smith dips a great axe or adze into cold water, hissing loud to temper it, for that is strength to steel, so hissed his eye about the olive stake. A hideous roar he raised. The rock resounded. We hurried away in terror. He wrenched the stake from out his eye, all dabbled with the blood, and flung it off in a frenzy. Then he called loudly on the Cyclops who dwelt about him in the caves along the windy heights. They heard his cry and ran from every side, and standing by the cave they asked what ailed him. "What has come on you, Polyphemus, that you scream so in the immortal night and so keep us from sleeping? Is a man driving off your flocks in spite of you? Is a man murdering you by craft or force?" Then, in his turn from out the cave, big Polyphemus answered, "Friends, no man is murdering me by craft. Force there is none." But in answering him in winged words, they said, "If no man harms you, then, and you are alone, illness which comes from mighty Zeus, you cannot fly. Nay, make your prayer to your father, Lord Poseidon.